Scripture this morning is in the book of Ephesians. It's chapter 6. So Ephesians 6, we'll begin in 10, we're going to read through 20. Ephesians 6, beginning in 10. Finally, build up your strength in union with the Lord and by means of his mighty power. Put on all the armor that God gives you so that you will be able to stand up against the devil's evil tricks. For we are not fighting against human beings, but against the wicked spiritual forces in the heavenly world, the rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers of this dark age. So put on God's armor now. Then when the evil day comes, you will be able to resist the enemy's attacks. And after fighting to the end, you will still hold your ground. So stand ready with truth as a belt tied around your waist, with righteousness as your breastplate, and as your shoes the readiness to announce the good news of peace. At all times carry faith as a shield, for with it you will be able to put out all the burning arrows shot by the evil one. And accept salvation as a helmet, and the word of God as the sword which the Spirit gives you. Do all this in prayer, asking for God's help. Pray on every occasion as the Spirit leads. For this reason, keep alert and never give up. Pray always with all God's people, and pray also for me, that God will give me a message when I am ready to speak, so that I may speak boldly and make known the gospel secret. For the sake of this gospel, I am an ambassador, though now I am in prison. Pray that I may be bold in speaking about the gospel as I should. Praise be to God for the reading of his word. Let's pray. Lord, for me in this moment, these words from Paul take on a little more power. Like Paul, would you allow me to speak your words in your power and not my own? I would be so grateful if everyone left here today and knew they had heard from you and couldn't remember a thing that I've said. In your name, Jesus. Amen. In this business of evil, and it's a battle that we're in, perhaps in our time frame for most of us. September 11th was absolute evil perpetrated against the United States. And so I wanted to read to you this morning today's devotion from, whatever it is. Why can't I think of that? I'll get there. On September 11th, it's our daily bread, see? It falls out eventually. On September 11th, 2001, Stanley Pramath was working on the 81st floor of the World Trade Center South Tower when he saw an airplane flying directly toward him. Stanley prayed a quick prayer as he dove under a desk for protection. Lord, I can't do this. You take over. The terrible impact of the plane crash trapped Stanley behind a wall of debris. But as he prayed and cried for help, Brian Clark, a worker from another floor, heard and responded. Making their way through rubble and darkness, the two found their way down 80 flights of stairs to the ground floor and out. When encountering terrible threats, David asked God for help. He wanted to be assured of God's nearness as he faced enemies in battle. In a heartfelt petition, David said, "Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Do not be far from me, my God. Come quickly, God, to help me." This comes from Psalm 71. We aren't promised deliverance from every difficult situation we face, but we can be confident that God hears our prayers and will walk alongside us through everything. Whatever comes my way, please come near to me, Lord, to help. I cannot make it through anything without you. Thank you. And the great preacher Charles Spurgeon said this, "Nearness to God is our conscious security. A child in the dark is comforted by grasping its father's hand." And so we read in this part of this letter from Paul about what we're to do when evil attacks us. Most often when we're reading Paul's letters, they are teaching and they are correcting, and what they are aiming at is that the church, various churches actually, can overcome particular errors in faith. But not so with the letter to the Ephesians. Paul writes, he wants to strengthen those believers in their Christian faith by explaining the nature and purpose of the church, the body of Christ. Paul knew that this very early church in Ephesus was going to face many challenges in sustaining the group and keeping the group together, and he wanted to encourage the people to help them to see what God's eternal purpose was for the church. If you go back in the earlier chapters in Ephesians, you'll see Paul, he's painting a word picture of the church as the dwelling place of God. That the church is God's masterpiece, and oh, don't miss this, that the church is the object of God's love. And so this is a good moment for me to remind you of something you already know, what the church really is. It is not a building on a corner. Although the building itself is rather nice, is it not? The building cannot do the work of the kingdom. It's the people. It's the people. And so it's my joy this morning to remind you that you're the church. And therefore, if the church is the object of God's love, that you and I, isn't it grand? You and I, this very moment, are the object of God's love. But we have an enemy. The truth is, the whole church has an enemy. The enemy is an angel, of course. He was kicked out of heaven. His name is Satan. And Paul is describing in these scripture passages that he's one of the warriors. He's one of the warriors against Satan. He didn't sign up for that. God asked him to do it. And Paul was trusting enough. He had enough faith to say, "Okay, God." In Paul's time, and even up through our present day, the church has been under attack by the forces of evil. We have to smile. You know about Mission of Hope that we've been a part of. and it's been so successful in helping people, and the one in Wapaka, and then the one in Clintonville is the newest one this year. Those two Mission of Hopes happen to be in the public high school. And do you know, they got a letter from the Freedom from Religion Foundation. It was a cease and desist letter, so otherwise they were going to have to take them to court, because in this public school building, there were people that were willing to pray with each other. And we can't have that in our nation. Bless God. Both of those schools said, don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. The church, the idea of praying, the idea of knowing Jesus, is always under attack. But you know something? The really good news, the really great news, the really wonderful news is God wins. Satan has been defeated because of the cross. But it doesn't stop Satan from attacking the church. And that means that you and I need to be ready. We need to get prepared. Craig Brian Larson is a religious author who made this comment. He wrote, recently, National Geographic ran an article about the Alaskan bull moose. The males of the species battle for dominance during the fall breeding season, literally going head-to-head with antlers crunching together as they collide. Often the antlers are their only weapons, and they become broken. And that ensures defeat. The heftiest moose, the largest, the strongest moose with the best antlers triumphs in most cases. Therefore, the battle that's being fought in the fall is really won during the summer. The moose that can eat the most, the richest foods for developing antlers, the moose that can gain the most weight, that's the one who's the heavyweight in the fight. The ones that eat inadequately, they have weaker antlers. They have less bulk. They will be defeated. And so the lesson for us is that we have spiritual battles that await us. Satan will choose a season to attack. And will we be victorious or will we fall? Well, much of that depends on right now how we prepare before the battles begin. The bull moose principle is this: enduring faith, strength, and wisdom for trials are best developed before they're needed. So what is it then that you and I should be doing to be prepared? And Paul makes it very clear. He says that you and I are to gather, we are to appropriate the very armor of God, that we are to put it on daily. And then it will be there before the trials, before the challenges, before the battle reaches us. When we have the armor, we are not only protected from the evil one, but we will, in God's name, be an awesome fighting force, one that cannot be defeated. 2,000 years now, the forces of evil have been trying to defeat Jesus and the truth that is in him, and they've made a ruckus, but they haven't defeated him. There was a saying that I heard one time. It has stayed with me. In the New Testament, it is not believers who tremble at the power of Satan, but demons who tremble at the power of God. Let me say it again. In the New Testament, it is not believers who tremble at the power of Satan, but demons who tremble at the power of God. And hallelujah, you and me, we are New Testament people. Satan always fights with lies. That's his weapons. And as believers, we put on the belt of truth. And with that, we can defeat the lies of the evil one. Satan often attacks our heart, the seat of our emotions, our worth, our trust. And God's righteousness is the breastplate that protects our heart and ensures God's approval. God approves us, quite honestly, because he loves us. And he sent Jesus to die for you and for me. Let's talk about shoes for a moment. One summer, I got in trouble with my beautiful Barbie. Through an act of foolishness, I punched a hole in my tennis shoe, which resulted in a little trip to the ER at 11 p.m. at night. And then we were to be on vacation the next day. So I just went, put those same shoes back on, and she looked at me and she said, "We're buying you new shoes." My friends, God has a new pair of shoes for you as part of the armor of God. The shoes symbolize our readiness to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Satan wants us to think that telling others about Jesus and inviting them into a relationship with him is of no good. It's a worthless task. But Satan lies. The foot gear that God gives us enables us to proclaim the true peace that is available in God. Satan will attack you with insults, setbacks, and temptations. I'm so glad that we're given this shield of faith as part of our armor. The shield protects us from what is described in the scriptures as Satan's fiery darts. With the shield of faith, we can see beyond our present circumstances, and by faith, we can know that the ultimate victory is ours because the ultimate victory is in God himself. Satan would like us to doubt Jesus. He would like us to doubt our salvation. And so the helmet of salvation that we put on protects our mind from doubting God's saving work for us. It's one of the lies that he promotes. It's one of the temptations that he goes after us, and he'll pester us in our mind and tell us, "Look, you're really not good enough to be a child of God. You did something yesterday, or maybe it was this morning, that throws that all out the window. You did something that now God will never forgive you for." The helmet of salvation will help you to understand that that's a bunch of hokum. It's all lies. And it will protect your mind. When I was doing my seminary studies in Kansas City, one year there was a new student, and he walked around the seminary campus, and he had a Bible tucked in the back of his belt. And he walked everywhere with that. And at first, I thought, boy, that's pretty silly. And then I remembered the words of these scriptures. It tells us that the Bible, the very word of God, is like a sword. Sword. The Bible is a part of our armor, and we dare not go anywhere without it. This was a great image for the people of the day because the hated Roman soldiers wore this wide belt, and on it was a sword. A sword is an offensive weapon. You and I know that. And there are times when we need to take the offensive against the evil one. When we are tempted, we need to live in the Word of God, because He has so graciously given it to us. We are admonished to memorize it and keep it in our heart. Then it's always handy. I'm told that summer is officially over now that we're past Labor Day. I've chosen not to believe in that. But I wonder about your summer. Has it been really busy? I'll bet it has. Have you drifted away from reading your Bible regularly? Well, now's a great time to get back on track. Get back into the habit of reading the Scriptures. Paul finishes his remarks about the armor of God in a very wonderful way. Let me read verse 18 for you again. Do all this in prayer, asking for God's help. Pray on every occasion as the Spirit leads. For this reason, keep alert and never give up. Pray always for all God's people. Well, how in the world can you pray on every occasion? How in the world can you pray always? Oh, my friends, it just becomes a habit if you will work at it. We become good at what we practice. I'm told it takes 7 weeks, 7 weeks to create a new habit. And so, here's your homework for the next few weeks. I challenge you to begin praying about everything in your life, all things. You can begin by making quick prayers, short prayers. But when we start to develop this habitual habit of a response to every situation that we meet with a prayer, then it will become second nature. 7 weeks from today, plus one more day, I should say, not an extra week. 7 weeks and a day is Halloween. Do you know if you start today by Halloween praying about everything, it will become so much a part of you, it'll be like putting on your clothes in the morning. It'll just be with you always. And if you will do that, if you will try that, if you will work on that, and if you goof up one day, don't give up, get back on, you know, when you fall off the horse, the old saying, but get back up in the saddle again, just start it again. You will be amazed if you work on this from now until Halloween and what God is doing in your life, because you have made a commitment to pray for everything in your life. In any battle, those who strategize about that, they know that ground troops will win the war. But they also know that if you have air superiority, the battle will be won by you. That's the prayer part. You see, prayer is our air superiority over the forces of evil. C.S. Lewis wrote this: enemy-occupied territory, that is what the world is. Christianity is the story of how the rightful king has landed in disguise and is calling us all to take part in a great campaign of sabotage. Think about that for a minute. Is that not truly what we're in a world that really doesn't want to consider Jesus very much, and we're just part of the saboteurs in a very, very good way? We just live our lives for the Lord, and when we get a chance, we get to tell people about what Jesus has done in our lives. It's perhaps more effective than an outright attack on those that don't know Jesus yet. We'll just love them. Just love them. And maybe they will come and ask us why. And then we'll be ready. We need to use our air coverage, the power of prayer. Oh yes, my friends, the Christian faith is under attack. We are in a battle, but you know, I am not worried, not one bit, because God is still in control. A few years ago, a very popular song, Jamie Owens Collins wrote it. It's called "The Battle Belongs to the Lord," and it goes like this. In heavenly armor, we'll enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon that's fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. I believe those words are true. I hope that you do also. And when we walk with God, when we believe in what God tells us, when we pray, when we put on the armor of God every day, then we will be ready for any attack that might come our way. And we will be victorious because we do it in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.